Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 25. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much more fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you. I just feel really grateful after that moment with Lynn and talking about pastor appreciation. You know, I was talking to someone this week, and I was just telling them, I was like, the joy I feel, the gratitude that I feel to get to be in this place with you all, at least once a week, it just kind of bowls me over. Like, it's just incredible. So thank you for letting me be your pastor, for creating this community together. It's so good. Let's pray as we go into our sermon today. God, we do have so much to be grateful for. We have each other. We have your spirit moving in this place. And God, we have your presence with us in the different seasons of our lives, whether they are the best seasons or the worst seasons. God, you are there. My prayer today as we look at this scripture from John is that we would be able to see it in our own lives, see it in the world around us. That God, as we leave this place in just a little bit, we would leave with a deeper sense that you are with us, that you see us, that you know us, that you love us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this is our final week of our series called The Faith of Trees. And over the past few weeks, we've been looking at really what I have been saying is the state of our inner souls. We've been looking at what goes on inside of us and how our lives and our faith can go through seasons just like the trees outside. And so today I want to start by sharing a poem with you. This poem is called Autumn by Rainer Maria Rilke. It goes like this. The leaves fall as from far, like distant gardens withered in the heavens. They fall with slow and lingering descent. And in the nights, the heavy earth too falls from out the stars into the solitude. Thus all doth fall. This hand of mine must fall, and lo, the other one. It is the law. But there is one who holds this falling infinitely, softly, in his hands. That poem speaks to one of the constant truths in our world and in our lives, that fall and winter will come. And reading this poem made me think about a season in my personal life where I kind of got to escape that truth a little bit. Many of you know that Zach and I lived in Southern California for 4 years, and there was a lot that I loved about that season, but you can probably guess that one of my very favorite parts of living out there was The weather, and I especially loved it when we would like FaceTime home and our families. It would be like January, and they'd be so cold, and I would be like, oh, it's hard. I had to wear a knit hat and a puff vest today. Like, you're going through it, right? So, like, I loved it. I loved that it was 70 and sunny all the time. But as you can tell, we moved back to Indianapolis. We left 70 and sunny, and now it's like, I don't know, 40 and whatever is happening out of this building right now. And so it was quite a shock to go from every day sort of being the same and being really pleasant to having all of the different seasons. We realized really quickly that we were going to have to figure out how to deal with it instead of longing for that perpetual summer that we had gotten used to. We had to embrace fall and winter because, like it or not, it was going to be part of our lives now. I think the same concept can be true in our spiritual lives. You know, we're going to have seasons where it feels like it's 70 and sunny. It feels like we're growing. We love those seasons. That's when we feel like we're thriving. But we're also going to have those seasons where we don't feel that way at all. There's going to be stretches in our faith where it almost feels like we're dormant or we're waiting for what's coming next. We might feel like all the leaves have fallen off of our spiritual tree and things are just bare and desolate. We might have times where it feels like God is really quiet or far away, and we don't know if the conditions are right for anything to grow at all. I think these can be some of the most difficult seasons of our faith. And one of the reasons that these quiet, dormant seasons can feel so challenging is because it might not feel like the right way to be doing our faith. You know, in American Christian culture, we have this undercurrent of something called Christian triumphalism. And if that's not a word that you're like regularly using in your workplace conversations, that's fine. But what that means is that our American Christianity, we have this sort of underlying narrative that says our Christian faith means that we should have success. Our Christian faith means things should go well for us. Our Christian faith makes us special. And because we have that specialness, life should be really, really good. Now, I don't think that I often subscribe to that way of thinking. In fact, I think I make a lot of my ministry about pushing back against that kind of theology. But I was surprised when someone called this out in me, when I was going through a particularly difficult season. I was going through what I would call a winter in my life. I had lost some things that I was hoping for professionally, personally. I was a little bit of a mess. And I had this mentor in my life as she was listening to me sort of ruminate on the same thing again and again and again. She gently said, "You know, I think you have a really specific view of how your life and your faith are supposed to work. And what I'm hearing from you as you talk about this very real disappointment is that you're kind of expecting that your life and your ministry and your faith should be moving up and to the right constantly. And that maybe as they move up and to the right, they should be going there as fast as they possibly can." She said, "What if there's a different way? What if that's not actually how life works? And what if when you're in those seasons where it either feels like it is just a flat line or even things are going down, what if those are the seasons where God can teach you things that you couldn't learn in any other way?" I needed to hear that because in that moment, it didn't feel like things were really moving for me at all. My faith felt really stagnant. I was grieving a lot of things. And so what I had to figure out in that season, and what I think we all have to figure out when we're in those moments, is how we're going to find hope, how we're going to find meaning, how we're going to hold on to the possibility that spring could come for us even after a long winter. You know, the passage that Hazel read for us today in John, it provides a really interesting and I will say fairly complicated commentary on that very question. What Jesus is doing here in this teaching is he's preparing his disciples for their own upcoming winter season. They don't really know what's coming next in their world, but Jesus has a good idea. He can see some things on the horizon. And what he knows is that as busy as this group of people has been, as much momentum as his teaching, his preaching, his miracles, all of that, it's been gaining momentum. They've been growing. But he knows that so very soon, something, his arrest, his crucifixion, his death, it's going to grind all of that to a halt. Things are going to get really hard. They're going to be devastated by the turn that their story is about to take. And what Jesus knows is that this group of people is going to have to figure out how they keep going in the midst of all of that disappointment. I think it's interesting because the catalyst for this conversation, I don't know if you caught it, is that a group of Greeks, which for our purposes, we can just say is non-Jews. So like the people outside of the immediate group Jesus was working to reach and spending his time with. So people outside of that primary group, they've come to see Jesus. They've been hearing about him. They want to learn from him. And when that happens, Jesus realizes, oh, this message, it's growing, it's taking off, it's reaching a bigger audience than just his specific people. And I think what Jesus realizes is that when his death comes, when that momentum stops for a moment, it's going to be hard for his followers to come back from that. Despite the miracle that's going to happen with his resurrection, right? We know that. We know about Easter. Despite that, it's not going to be the same for them. They're not going to sit around the dinner table with Jesus and have these long, leisurely meals together. They're not going to have walks from town to town where they discuss all the different things. They're not going to have these moments where they pray together and worship together. The things that have made up Jesus' life with his closest friends, they're about to end. And even though God is going to be at work in some stunning ways in the season that comes next, there's also going to be this profound sense of loss that the disciples will carry. There's going to be a season where they have to regroup. There's going to be a moment where it will be really hard to see what God is actually up to. And so what Jesus does is he uses this metaphor of wheat to illustrate what's coming next. And for our purposes, the wheat is not that different from the tree metaphor. But he tells his followers this. He says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." As he gives them this image, he gives them a different way to look at the end of that season. Because when we look at a stalk of wheat, I brought some with me today. Thank you, internet. But if we look at a stalk of wheat, we might think, okay, this looks really great on its own. Like if this was not internet crafting wheat, it would be planted in the ground and it would be growing. It would be like swaying in the breeze and you would think it was very peaceful and beautiful. But what Jesus is saying is that when it stays in that place where it looks like it's growing, where it looks like everything is great, it's just wheat. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't grow. It doesn't multiply. It just kind of stays there. And what Jesus is saying is that when it dies, I don't think I can spread these seeds because it's not real wheat, but when it dies and the seeds come out and they scatter all over the ground, that's when something new begins. Now, you can't always see it at first. For a long time, it probably just looks like a mess of seeds on the ground, but something good and fruitful is on the way. A lot of times when Jesus spoke in these kinds of metaphors, I want you to know that the disciples had a really hard time understanding what he meant. I think most of the time when the disciples journeyed with Jesus, they were like, this guy talks a lot, and we don't always know what he's saying. And I'm telling you that today because I think when we are in our seasons of winter, when we're in the middle of whatever the struggle is, we do not always know what God is doing. We can't always see the meaning behind the thing that's happening until we are so far past it. And so if that's where you are, my friend, I just want you to know that that is not only okay, but I also want you to know that you're not alone. In fact, if you look around this room, and I'm actually going to invite you to stop looking at me for a moment, look at each other, do it, make weird eye contact, make it uncomfortable, look at each other. Because here's the thing, I don't know how many people you just saw, but my surest guess is that at least one of them, I'm going to say probably two, are going through some kind of season like the one we're talking about. Some kind of season of grief, of loss, of uncertainty, of just waiting to see, God, what in the world are you going to do in my life? This room holds so many stories. So many stories of people having to say goodbye to something that's important to them. Stories of people who might have had to say no to an opportunity that really mattered to them, that might have had to say goodbye to a loved one who they've lost recently. Maybe someone who's in transition with a season with their kid, like any of you that have seniors in high school, and you're going through the last of everything this fall, and you're like, okay, I'm standing on the football field and I'm smiling, but I'm really crying a lot inside. Someone who maybe had a relationship end, and you're trying to figure out who you are and what this looks like on the other side of that. Maybe there's someone here who you're having a hard mental health season, and you're looking to the actual winter ahead, and you're just hoping you can make it through those dark days. I think whatever this season looks like, it can be so hard to see beyond it. And sometimes all we can do is just hold on to the shred of hope that God is working when we don't see it, when we don't feel it, when maybe we can hardly, barely believe it. Sometimes all we can do is hold on to that little bit of hope that something unexpected can grow from a place where it looks like everything has ended. See, what the disciples don't really know in this moment as Jesus is talking about the wheat is that he's talking about the church. He's talking about the fact that, yes, we are doing amazing things together now, but when I'm gone, when you all are scattered, we're going to reach so many more people than you can even imagine. You think it's amazing that this group of people came to me today, but imagine the groups of people you will go to in the future. Imagine this community. Imagine what God can do. I think sometimes when we're preparing to experience that growth and flourishing, it just takes a lot more time than we want it to. It's a lot more mysterious than we want it to be. But even when it takes time and even when we can't see it, it doesn't mean that something isn't happening. Our communications director, Sam, told me about this butterfly bush that he has at his house. That is not the actual butterfly bush. Sorry, Sam. But he told me that when they planted it in its first year, it looks really sad. It does not look like that beautiful picture that you are seeing today. And so he and his wife, they're like, did we do it wrong? Like, are we bad at planting plants? Like, what's going on? But they started to do some research on how butterfly bushes function. And they say that with a bush like this, the first year, it sleeps. And so that means most of its growth, it's happening below the surface. It's establishing roots. It's doing things that no one else can see, but it's really important stuff. In year two, it begins to creep. Do you hear the rhyme? I really like this. It begins to creep, and the growth is slow, but it's there. You start to get more leaves. Maybe you get a couple of flowers. You realize, like, okay, we did not kill this plant. We're going to be all right. But year three, that's when they say it leaps. That's when you start to get lots of growth, lots of blooms, but it's not a quick process. the temptation, when you see how bad it looks in year one, is just to give up. But if you can make it through the dormancy, if you can make it through the underwhelming, if you can even make it through the stuff that looks a little bit ugly, there can be something really beautiful to be had on the other side. If we can let ourselves resist giving up in those winter seasons, I think that we'll find spring again too. We'll see life return. We'll watch hope start to sprout. And maybe we just need to remember when we're in these seasons that that's exactly what they are. It's a temporary season, not a forever reality. What you're going through is a temporary season, not a forever reality. I think sometimes acknowledging that truth, as like simple and basic as that seems, that's what we need to make it through. A couple of years ago, a pastor named Glenn MacDonald wrote about hope in a daily devotional that he sends out. And I want to share with you what he wrote today as we start to close. He said this: in the Bible, hope is not a maybe. It's not a shot in the dark, something that may or may not happen. It's the assurance of a secure and unshakable future in which we are going to be blessed. It's based on what God is doing and not on anything that we can do. We can survive the loss of many things, but we cannot survive the loss of hope. It's the spiritual fuel that keeps us going in the middle of a broken world. He goes on to say, a few years ago, I came across three sentences that were written by a young woman in our community. She was in the midst of an exceedingly hard time, and she said this: I know things will be okay in the end. Things don't feel okay now, so this must not be the end. I'm going to read that for you one more time. I know things will be okay in the end. Things don't feel okay now, so this must not be the end. When you came in today, in your bulletins, there's a little leaf in here, and it says, this must not be the end. I want to invite you in just a moment, or you can take it home, either way, but I want to invite you on the other side of this leaf to jot down what this might be for you right now. This is not the end. To write that down and remember that this thing is hard. It is a challenge. It might be testing your faith, but it is not the end. And we're putting it on a leaf so that you can remember that even when the spiritual trees of our lives, when they seem bare, even when we're tempted to believe that nothing is going to bloom in that place ever again, that's simply not the truth. Hope will spring up again because it always does and it always will. And the amazing thing about the cycles of the trees and the cycles of our faith and the faithfulness of God is that it keeps coming over and over again. So as you watch the leaves around us start to fall a little bit more aggressively in the next few weeks, as you watch those branches begin to turn bare and it begins to be gray like this an awful lot of the days, as you start to reach for those knit hats and puff vests, I want you to remember this. Winter might be here, but spring will come again because this is just a season. Let's pray. God, it is not always easy to navigate.